It's a story that's been rumbling around for quite some time, this Dale Farm Travellers site in Essex. It basically comes to the nub of this. Some 400 people have been living on 51 unauthorised caravan plots. They don't have planning permission. The others do. I suppose they perceived it to be, well, they've got it, so we'll get it. No, say the local authority, and they are now going to take plans, or they're going to make plans, and in fact they are going to be doing it today. They are going to be evicting those 400 people and those 51 caravan plots. Some people have already gone from the site, but the remaining travellers are, to all intents and purposes, saying, no, we're staying here. Some have even said they're going to chain themselves to their caravans. They've been preparing for this eviction all weekend. And we have a taste of this here in the West. In Bath, as you've been hearing this morning in breakfast, empty shops been occupied by squatters. It would appear that the locks have been changed, the squatters move in, and then they start selling goods to you and me in Bath. And you and I probably both know it's not just Bath that we have squatters occupying shops. In fact, how do you know? But it does happen. It is going on. Now, no doubt, these people have chosen not to live by the rules that the majority of society live by. Squatters, travellers. But if the land is empty, the shop is empty, it affects nobody. What's wrong with travellers just taking over some land, or squatters moving into an empty building or an empty shop? Is it ever okay just to take what you need? 0845 905 949 is the number that gets you to me for your opinion on this morning. Your experience, if you know of squatters living where you are, or living in your roads, in Clifton, or Yate, or Bath, or Canesham. 0845 905 949. You can text as well. That's Bristol 81333. Start your text with the word Bristol. And let me have your thoughts, your opinion. You can email john.d@bbc.co.uk. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? Let's start with Jim in Hambrook. Jim, morning to you.
Good morning.
I understand you've got experience of travellers who, as my 19-year-old son would say, rocked up to the the green in Hambrook.
Yes, they pulled on a week ago, but they left last night. So I suppose it's a case of the travellers' unit in South Gloucestershire negotiating with them and, you know, getting to go off, really.
So how long? They were there for a week?
They were there for a week, yeah.
And have they been there before?
No, it's a village green. It's, you know, a quiet spot.
Is that the green down the dip before you go round the sharp corner? Is that the green
by the two
pubs there, or the one, yeah, as you go up the hill?
As you go up the hill is the cricket square. That's Hambrook Common.
So typical village green then, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah,
that's the sort of green where you... I can't remember, because I've driven past that green so many times. Has it got things like climbing frames and all the sort of stuff that you would associate with a village green?
Well, no,
the cricket pitch.
It's just a sort of quite a natural bit of grass, really, with a wood on one side and some hedges around the other bit of it.
So it's not the sort of thing that you would expect travellers to pitch up on, really, is it?
That was a bit of a surprise when they pulled up, yeah. You know, I suppose they've got to live somewhere, but if they don't own the land, they shouldn't really be pulling on there, should they?
What was it like with them there?
Well, it was worrying, really, because they don't want to sort of communicate with you. And they leave a lot of rubbish, and they don't have proper facilities. You know, they just use up the land, make a mess, and move on, really.
Did you have any problems when they were there?
No, they were quite good, in fairness to them.
Right.
And I think I've got to say thank you to the traveller unit, and especially John Malone, who obviously did a very good job, you know, spoke with him, and got them to move on in an orderly way. I mean, they've left a lot of rubbish and mess, and, you know, you always just think, well, are they going to come back? But they weren't that much problem.
So I'm detecting from you, Jim, that whilst you don't want it there, and you're being very honest this morning, so thank you for that, whilst you don't want them there, you sort of respect that they are travellers and they've got to live somewhere. In fact, that's what you said.
Yeah.
They've got to live somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not the way of life I'd choose.
Yeah.
But as you say, yeah, they've got to go somewhere. And I don't know how the local authorities are meant to deal with it, really.
Mm. Do you expect they'll ever come back?
Yeah, I expect so. I mean, you know, once they've got a site earmarked, presumably they do. I don't know. I don't know what their mentality is.
Mm. And talk me through the process, Jim, very briefly, if you can, of when you spoke to South Gloucester Council, South Gloucester Council, what process did it go through?
Well, for the first thing you sort of do is you phone the police, and then the process is they eventually phone you back and say it's nothing to do with them.
Right.
And it's a civil matter, you know, they can't touch anyone. And even if they're breaking down your fences or things like that, they can only do them for criminal damage if you see them and identify them. So that doesn't happen. And then eventually, then I dealt with the parish council, and they say, well, there's nothing they can do. They pass it on to South Gloucestershire, and then South Gloucestershire pass everything to do with it to their traveller unit, which seems to me to be pretty much, overstretched, really. Seems to be just the one guy that does everything, but
dealing with the entire half of the county, just trying to sort it out.
Yeah, so you phone up people and say, well, isn't this an environmental health issue because they're going to the toilet in the woods? And well, no, it's all to do with the traveller unit. So everything that happens is they just push onto the traveller unit, which is quite nice for them, so they can just say, well, you know. They sort of fob it off onto them, don't they?
It's interesting, though, Steve, when you say you phone the police and they turn around and say it's a civil matter, which sort of tends to imply that they're not actually breaking any law.
No, I think I can't remember the name of the act or anything like that. It's the Criminal Injustice Public Order Act. Got written down. So unless they're rowdy and badly behaved, then they can serve a notice on them. But once you start down the road of a legal process, much the same as Dale Farm, it would just drag on and drag on. So South Gloucestershire take the view, probably quite rightly as it turns out, that it's far better to negotiate with them.
And were they rowdy at all? Were they rowdy or noisy or lawless?
The worst thing was late at night music, which woke my daughter up. Right. But, hardly a big issue, is it?
Jim, great to talk to you. Thank you very much for your experience and your opinion this morning. Thank you very much for your time.
Goodbye.
Jim in Hambrook there, experience of travellers who were on Hambrook Village Green. Very nice village green, one of those typical village greens that you get in the UK. They were there for a week, and from the police to the parish council to the local authority, or the council, I should say, South Gloucester Council, down to one man from the travellers unit to try and negotiate to get them to move on. It's about travellers for you and me this morning. The Dale Farm Traveller site in Essex, looking at the pictures coming in on the BBC News channel, it would appear that obviously the evictions are about to take place. We've had a taste of it here in the West. I'm sure you've got a taste of it where you live at the moment. Certainly in Bath, empty shops occupied by squatters. Those who sell goods to the public just basically break into a shop, help themselves to the trading space there, and then go ahead and make money. They don't pay rates, they don't pay rent, they don't pay for the electricity, but they're making a buck. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? 0845 900 5949 is that number that gets you to me for your view, your thoughts, your opinion this morning here at BBC Radio Bristol. Andrew in Chilcompton. Andrew, morning to you.
Morning, John. How are you?
I'm very well for a Monday.
Good. I wish someone had told my missus, because she keeps taking my wages every Friday night when I get up.
Yeah, that's a debate for a different day, Andrew.
Yeah. Right, first of all, what we got to look
I've got
at
four is... kids. They help themselves as well.
That's right, what we got to look at first here is this traveller. Let's take a whole look at this traveller site up at the farm there.
Yeah.
There's only 30 that's left there now.
Yeah.
You know, it's rent-a-mob. All right, that's all that's up there. They're just up there just to cause trouble. But like our friend there just said, it's the mess that they leave behind. And also, the taxes. You know, they're not paying tax. You know, I'll catch mine back. Good pal of mine runs a very good business.
Yeah.
He had a couple of travellers come in, and they said, any scrap, mate? And he said, well, you know, he didn't really want to mine around. He said, well, look, there's a couple of old wheels there. Take them. So they took. They come back in the evening, at night time when he was shut up, paints the whole lot. You know, he gave them something to deter them, and hopefully that they wouldn't come back. So they come back and repay them like that. So, you know, it's the mess that they leave behind. You know, and our friends there said about the loud music, you know, it's totally antisocial, isn't it?
Let me just put in something here, which I think was really interesting over the last couple of weeks. Not the programme, but the result of the programme, Celebrity Big Brother. Right. Where Paddy,
oh, yeah.
the Paddy
yeah,
the tra- yeah, Paddy the yeah. Traveller, w- yeah. went in there, and if you were to pick the of the ten, and I'm doing the inverted comma thing with my fingers here, the 10 celebrities that went into that house, he probably, on paper, was the one that would have been the novelty factor in that house, but not likely to win, because if you read certain tabloid newspapers, especially the blacktop tabloid newspapers,
yeah.
He would have been the absolute... to all intents and purposes, Antichrist.
Yeah,
but what happened was that this guy came across as a family man with strong moral tenets, who looked after people in the house, was responsible, had a loving wife, missed his family, and the viewers voted for him, kept him in there, and he won the programme. That must be very difficult for some of these tabloid newspapers, because he espouses, he basically has all the views that they have, but he's a traveller.
He's got good family morals. Like you just said, good family morals.
Yes.
First of all, I'd like to know why an educated man like yourself is watching Big Brother for anything.
I don't trust me. I wasn't watching it. I was reading it. I wasn't watching it. I'd rather watch Magnolia paint dry.
Yeah,
but
right.
But I found that as a principle interesting, because he was voted for by the viewers of Big Brother. We're talking about sort of 3 million
family,
people watching that.
A family, a traveller from a family with long roots. Now, we're not talking about your Roman types, the people that go from... These are just dropouts from society that think that they can go where they want to, do what they want to. You don't got no problems with anybody. If you want to go and live in a field, and live off the land, that's fine. Get on and do it.
Mm.
But, where are they getting... They've got to eat. They've got to put petrol in their cars or diesel in their vans. Where's it all coming from? They've got to be sourcing an income from somewhere, haven't they?
Yeah,
where's it coming from? It's coming from us. They drop out of society, but they still go to the money pot at the end of the week and saying, "Well, we want our little bit, mind."
Have you had experience of travellers where you are in Chilcompton? Have you had people pitch up and do that?
Where we're based too in Farnborough, we've got about five or six of them over there. They're no problem whatsoever. They come down to the workshop. They're actually one of the lads is a scrap dealer, and he's doing a very good job at it, but he's licensed, he pays his taxes, but he chooses to live out of a caravan. He doesn't want to live in four walls, and he's happy to do with what he's doing. So we've certainly had no problems with him around that area, no.
Andrew, great to talk to you this morning. Thanks for your views and comments. Thank you very much indeed, Andrew in Chilcompton. Travellers bring rubbish with them, and they don't pay taxes. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? Going to go to Anne in Kingswood and Keith in Horfield. Just want to give you a bit of breaking news. Police in Birmingham say that they are currently searching houses in Birmingham. They've arrested a couple of people on suspicion of preparing or instigating acts of terror in the UK. The Assistant Chief Constable Marcus Beale say that the men were arrested in or near their homes by unarmed officers. Police are now searching 6 domestic and 1 commercial property in Birmingham. At this stage, the police have declined to give any more details. So, back to the matter in hand. We've got these travellers at Dale Farm who are legally, they haven't got planning permission, they are chaining themselves to their caravans, facing eviction today. It's a dispute. It's an issue that's been running for some 10 years. We have shops occupied in Bath by squatters not paying rent, council tax, business rates, I should say, and all the other bells and whistles that one has to pay if you decide to open a shop in Bristol or Bath or Keynsham or Yate or what have you. They've just done it. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? Anne in Kingswood, morning to you, Anne.
Morning, John. No, it is not.
Yeah.
I firmly believe it is not right. Society works best when everybody contributes in some shape or form. I have had no personal experience of travellers.
Yeah.
Anywhere near where I live.
There have been some on Oldham Common, haven't there, in the past? They've pitched up there.
Yeah,
I know they have.
But I'm a bit away from there.
Yeah.
But however, I'm mainly commenting on squatters and the like of which are in Bath at the moment in a shop.
Yeah.
We've all got to pay. Even I'm an OAP. I'm on a very limited income, but I still have to pay, council tax. And so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I don't claim any benefit whatsoever, other than the fact that as I'm on my own, I get 25% off, as do everybody living on their own, from the council tax. And I really feel quite annoyed to think... But society seems to be leading this way now about, I want that, so I'm going to get it. And I think we had a reflection of that when we had the riots. I initially saw it from a different perspective, but I think I was mistaken. I thought it was more to do with people feeling aggrieved over certain things. But
that's how we originally thought it was, wasn't it?
Yes, and I came on and said, and I feel awful now, because having taken more notice of it as it evolved, I realised that here were people who had no intention of going out and doing a job of work or saving to buy something that they really want. I want it, I'm going to have it, and there we are. What does it say? That one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's goods.
Yeah.
And that includes their property, be it rented accommodation or whether the people have bought their own. I would hate to go out shopping today and come back and find that somebody's got in and is squatting in my property. Well, it's not my property, I rent it. You know? I think it's totally wrong, this whole attitude.
What about the fact that, and I'm not saying you've done this, but what about the fact that you could be walking down Kingswood High Street, you know, strolling along, you know, the high street there, or perhaps popping on down 2 Mile Hill Road, and you pop into a shop because you see them selling handbags at a ridiculously cheap price, and you buy one, and you found out you bought one of these handbags from a guy who doesn't have the right to be in that shop.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I would check things out before I went in.
Right.
I'm quite happy to go in charity shops. I've been addicted to charity shops for over 40 years. you know, that's, and I go in and I buy from them because I'm helping myself and I'm helping the different charities. But these people are making a quick buck. However, there is another side to it. And I actually spoke to a squatter. I went up to Clifton, because old stamping ground of mine years ago.
Yep.
And I went up, and a couple of years ago, one of the former maternity hospitals had been taken over by a load of squatters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was coming out with his bedroll, and I said, excuse me, I said, you know, I'd love to sort of ask you, why have you taken over this house? And he was a really well-spoken young man, and he said, we're not actually squatting there, but we've taken it over to draw attention to the number of unoccupied, I think there's 750,000 all over Great Britain, unoccupied buildings that have been unoccupied for years and years and years. So there's another side to that argument. That
there is, I mean, you're right, Anne. There is a massive number of empty properties in the West and in the UK that are just empty. The landlords are doing, the owners are doing nothing with them.
So,
and there are, we know, because we've debated this on the programme in the recent weeks, we know that there is a tremendous shortage of housing.
What I would say there is that if they've been unoccupied for X number of years, all right, then I think the council should make a compulsory purchase, do it properly, not some flyboy jumping in and seizing the opportunity to make money and not pay any taxes or anything. But I do. Can you understand the difference?
I do, and I understand your opinion well. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Anne in Kingswood there. Interesting point. Just going to look at David, who's producing the programme this morning. It might be worth trying to get one of the councils on, maybe Baines Council, to talk about the possibility of using empty houses and how many empty houses and indeed empty shops they've got in Bath. Maybe they could come up with some sort of initiative to help people start a business in Bath. Just an idea. I know Vince Cable's talking about the very same thing at the Liberal Democrat conference in Birmingham at the moment. Let's go to Keith in Horfield. Keith, morning to you.
Good morning.
Sorry to get you waiting. Very busy. Let me just give the number out. 0845 905 949. It's about travellers in Essex. It's about squatters in shops in Bath. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? What do you say to that, Keith?
No, again, this is back on the old chestnut. I pay rent to Bristol City Council.
Yeah.
Now, if I didn't pay rent to Bristol City Council, they would put me out on my ear. I'd have nowhere to live.
Pretty quickly, I would imagine.
Very quickly.
Yes.
Now, I've paid, and I say, a lot of people, we all pay our dues. As the last few callers have said, we all pay our dues.
Yeah.
You've got to pay. Nothing is for nothing. You know, somebody at the end of the day has to pay.
So well, I would imagine in the case of the Bath shops, if they're going to get those squatters out, looking at the rights that squatters seem to have under certain acts of Parliament and law and what have you, it's going to cost the people who own those shops a fair bit of cash to get them out.
Having said that, those people that own those shops really should have thought about that when they left them to go vacant, the same as down in Bristol.
Yeah.
Those buildings, Westmoreland House and the rest of it, which have been criminally left to go neglected.
And there is an argument, Keith, isn't there, that having something in there, legal or illegal, let's just park that to one side, having something in there that keeps that shop alive and that bit of the high street alive is better than it being empty and being used as a loo, the doorway being used as a loo on a Friday night and a Saturday morning. It's better to have something than nothing.
As long as they're paying it back into society, but these people, as the other callers have said, they don't, do they?
No.
They don't pay their taxes, they don't pay their rents, they don't pay their rates, whatever. Now, I've been in an awful situation where I've been off for a long time. I ended up owing a few pennies.
Yeah.
And I was hounded by the council taxes, I was hounded by the benefits people through mispayment, through not realising my rights or what I was allowed to have or what.
Yeah.
And I eventually, after 2.5 years out of work, I found myself in employment, and I've had to pay back rather a large sum of money.
Can I ask you, just stop me there, Keith, can I ask you, what stopped you from saying, oh, blow this, you can all go hang? What stopped you from doing that?
Well, I'd like to think it's my upbringing. I was brought up, my father was a prison warden, we were brought up with a code of conduct, a rule of life, you might say.
Yeah.
And I was brought up to respect, which these days doesn't appear to have any place in society. Respect for anybody's goods, belongings, for the people themselves, for anything. There is no respect. It all comes back to that again. So people have no respect for anything or anybody. It is, as has been said earlier, it is, I want that, so I'll take it. Why should I earn it?
So in answer to my question, Keith, is it ever okay just to take what you need?
Absolutely,
your answer is
no.
Keith, great to talk to you. Thanks for your
Thank
time
you.
This morning.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much indeed. We're going to hear from Frank in Bedminster, who has experience of dealing with the kind of issues that you and I, Yumi, are debating this morning. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? I want to hear from you if you've done it. Are you brave enough to come on the air and tell me that you've been a squatter? I'd love to talk to you. And I'm sure others would want to hear from you, to hear your side of the story. 0845 905 949. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? Have you had travellers living next to you? Squatters living in your road, on your street, in your home? 0845 905 949 is that number that gets you to me. You can text 81333, start your text with the word Bristol, and you can email me, john.d@bbc.co.uk. Kelly Winterbergen joins me now here in the studio with the texts and the emails. I'm in a different studio, everything's odd.
You haven't got your bearings?
No, I've got my bearings, yeah, I've got my bearings. And why can't I hear you? Speak.
Hello.
There you are. Excellent. Yes, you are there. You are there. Just checking. So, what have we got on the old texts and emails?
Well, on the email, Ron from Winterbourne says, if people are allowed to take what they need, this country would be in a state of anarchy. Burglars who take from other people's houses, bank robbers who take from other people's money, and people who steal other people's identities, if caught, are prosecuted and sent to prison in order to protect the innocent. Long may this continue. So, my answer to your question, is it ever okay to take what you need, is no.
Okay, thank you, Ron.
That's Ron's point of view. And Sarah in Chew Valley, she sends us a text to say, I think the eviction of the travellers in Essex is really sad. If councils don't provide legal science, where are they meant to go? What other use do they have in mind for this disused scrapyard? In this day and age, we as a society should feel ashamed to be so openly racist.
This is an interesting point, isn't it? And this is a debate that keeps coming back time and time again. And we had a taste of it from our first caller this morning. They went on to the beautiful Village Green in Hambrook. They were there for a week and were moved on by the Travellers Unit of South Gloucester Council. So where the heck did they go to? And do you? Do I? I don't know. Do you know where these sites are, that the legal sites where they go? And that point from that email there. Yes, of course you think people should have the right for bespoke sites, sites that are put aside by local authorities for travellers. Except, of course, when that site is somewhere near you, and then people get exercised about the fact that it's coming their way.
whether it's legal or not, is anybody ever grateful to have one of these travellers' sites at the end of their road?
Not in my backyard. Yeah, exactly.
Does it make a blind bit of difference whether it's a legal site or not?
The NIMBY attitude. But I come back to the point I was making earlier about Paddy, who won Celebrity Big Brother. And I stress again, I didn't watch Celebrity Big Brother. I'm not snobbish about TV programmes because I'm a huge EastEnders fan. I couldn't watch it because there was a reason why Channel 4 cancelled it. But what I found interesting was that it was Paddy from My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding, the traveller, who won that show. He was voted the most popular out of all of those celebrities because primarily of what he stood for. People felt an affinity to what this man stood for, which was for family values, for working hard, for loving your wife and all that, which chimes completely against a lot of what the Daily Mail and the Daily Express might throw at travellers and saying, they aren't like you, when in fact, actually, they are. That was a real dichotomy. Anything else, or we're going to come back to it later?
Yes, we've got another one on the email. This is from Michael. I'm at a loss over these squatted trading places. We have planning laws, health and safety compliance, fire regulations, trading licences, and yet the police are completely toothless, unable to eject illicit trailers.
Traders,
beg your pardon. Perhaps squatting laws might stop them from being evicted, but surely they can stop them trading.
Kelly, thank you very much indeed. Yeah, you, very good point that you make there as well about the fact that, you know, there are laws and regulations that if you are in a shop, you should be paying rate, business rates, light, heat, everything else, maintenance charges, so on and so forth. If you don't pay that, what laws are you breaking? Well, as we were hearing earlier, civil laws, maybe, but actual criminal laws, that's where it starts to get grey. So what stops you and me from just taking what we want? Is it ever okay to take what you want? 0845 905 949 is that number that gets you to me. We're going to hear from Frank in Bedminster, who can give us some answers to perhaps some of our questions in just a moment. My big question for you and me this morning to get our teeth into, is it ever okay just to take what you need? We know now that there are travellers facing eviction in Dale Farm in Essex. This is a story that's been rumbling on for 10 years. It's come to a point today. Some 400 people had been living in some 51 unauthorised caravan plots. The council have had enough because they didn't get planning permission for it. They say they are out. And those travellers who are left are facing eviction today. They've been preparing for it all weekend. Some have even chained themselves to their caravans. And as we've been hearing this morning here on BBC Radio Bristol, shops in Bath, empty shops in Bath, have been occupied by squatters. Not to live in. They're just making money out of it. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? Your experience of travellers, your experience of squatters, and I really want to hear from you if you are brave enough on BBC Radio Bristol, if you've ever squatted. 0845 905 949 is that number that gets you to me. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? Frank in Bedminster, morning to you, Frank.
Good morning.
You are a bailiff for my...
I do that kind of work, yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
Oh, donkey's years. Long time.
So, firstly...
That's why I'm so grey. Demoralised
and grey. How did you become a bailiff?
Just by accident, really. I started working one particular type of job, and I was asked to go along, backup, I suppose you'd call it, with another one.
Yeah.
And it just, one thing rolled into another. And here we are. This is just a part of what I do. I don't just do that.
No. I would imagine you do all sorts of other things as well. But
let's get something clearer to begin with.
Please.
You've put travellers and squatters in the same bracket today. They are not the same kind of people.
No, I haven't put them in the same brackets. I've given two examples of how people take what they want.
They're being put on the same in the same discussion as if they're doing the same things, and they're not. They're completely different types of people.
Okay.
Travellers have a cultural way of life. These, as we think, tinkers, Irish, travellers, whatever you want, they do have a particular cultural way of life of their own.
Yeah.
Squatters don't. Squatters, as an example, we had to take some out of a church a couple of years ago.
Out of a church?
Out of a church, yeah.
Right.
And the church was going to be demolished up the Gloucester Road, and a block of old people's sheltered flats were going to be built on it. I said to these, we got in early in the morning, there was hammocks up in the air, all sorts. There was traps put for us. All sorts. So anyway,
was this a working church or a disused church?
It had closed down.
Right. Okay.
It stopped, but it was still fully equipped.
Yeah.
pews, pulpit, everything was there when they moved in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't get involved on a personal level with it. You're just there. You're doing what you've got to do. Serve your papers. That, you know, they get moved out. I said to a couple of them, they had this, I don't know if you've ever heard of her, this Dr. Jones, a doctor of philosophy, Dr. Margaret Jones.
No, I have to say, I haven't heard of Dr. Margaret Jones.
Yeah, well, I can ring your station every day of the week and philosophise.
Mm.
You know, a doctor of philosophy. Never such a load of cobblers in my life, but anyway. She's just a parasite. That's all the woman ever was just a parasite. But she was there. She actually ran up and severely assaulted one of the men. It was all blown over, so nothing happened to her.
Assaulted what? One of the bailiffs?
One of my men.
One of your men, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Ran up and kicked him quite nastily, and it was a very well aimed kick.
Right.
But he had her by the hair, just held her out, you know, to stop her doing it. And everybody's jumping to her defence. Now, hang on, she attacked somebody, but that's another element.
Yeah.
Of it.
Okay.
I said to two of them as a passing comment. I said, so what is actually your reason for being in this church then? Well, it's a beautiful old building, and it shouldn't be demolished and something else put there. It's part of this community. I thought, well, okay,
yeah.
Fair comment. I said, so please explain to me why, since you came in here, everything has been destroyed. You have smashed all the pews to pieces. There is demonic signs daubed all over the walls. The pulpit, which was a lovely sandstone sculpture, has been smashed to pieces.
You've so what you're talking about there is lawlessness, aren't you?
You've set fires in there.
Yeah.
Hang on, their reason for being in there is the preservation of an historic building.
Mm.
So they proceeded to smash it to bits. They don't use the toilets. One good one, I got phoned up on a Christmas morning once. They'd taken over a building. There was a couple of the same people there. And they'd taken over this building. And, of course, the guy who owned it was an Indian guy. And as far as he's concerned, he owned it, get him out. Yeah. By any means, I don't care. I said, hang on a minute. I said, hang on. They want to stay. I said, go get me some chains and some padlocks.
Mm.
So off he went to his store. He got them, brought them back. I chained every window, locked every door. I said, you want to stay, you can stay. But nothing's coming in, nothing's going out. Simple as that. I said, you're not getting turkey and stuffing delivered by mum. You want to stay, you're staying. Turn all the services off, everything. 2 hours, they wanted to go. You had an element of silly kids playing social conscience within this. But overall, you've got a hardcore group of people that don't give a monkey's for nobody.
Yeah.
Now, that's your squatter, on average.
How big a problem has this been?
To live, if somebody's genuinely got nowhere to live, there's...
How big a problem has this been? Sorry, Frank, just to stop you. How big a problem has this been? How many times have you been involved in the eviction of squatters?
Oh, dozens.
And I'm trying to understand the legislation, because we know that it isn't a criminal act, because it gets passed from pillar to post. It doesn't seem to be clear which piece of legislation can be used against a squatter. How are you used,
to the best of my knowledge,
to enforce it?
If they've broken in, then they're not squatting.
Right.
If a door was left half inch ajar and they walk in, which they can always make it look that way.
Right. So as we understand, and we don't have firm evidence from this, what has happened in Bath with these shops is that maybe somebody has gone along there and changed the locks and left the door open. These people have walked into these shops because the door is open.
Yep.
And because that door is open, they can just live there.
Yeah. Well, you had the case 2 weeks ago with the surgeon from London and his wife. They went on holiday.
Yes, indeed.
Came home to find people in their property.
His heavily pregnant wife, in fact.
Yeah, there is absolutely no argument. That is not an abandoned, empty property. These people are taking liberties. They've broken in.
So how
one
can,
way or another.
How can you, as a bailiff, get them out? That's what I'm trying to understand. You go in there and...
Well, it has to go through a court... I don't actually get them out.
Right, okay.
The court papers get them out. I'm just the person
who
implements
who
it.
Serves them.
Yeah, and then you take care of all the various procedures and through courts and whatever, and then they're out. There should be no procedure, bar scruff of the neck, smacking the chops, out of my house. Because I'm afraid I'd find someone sat in mine, they're going. End of story. I'm not waiting for court papers. But that's squatters for you. Let's take travellers.
Yeah, okay.
Travellers, as far as their argument with Essex or any other site go, now, I attended one job. I also, for a different council, do Will Clampin and Towaways. Now, I'm probably going to be the most hated man in Bristol by the end of this programme.
you're not going to endear yourself to people, no.
But
I'm giving you the chance to put your side of the story. That's what we do here in the morning. So, yeah, carry on.
Yeah, so We attended one site where you have to serve a 28-day notice, a 7-day notice, a 24-hour notice, and then an hour notice.
Right.
Then they start being moved.
This is travellers we're talking about now. Right, okay. Right. So the situation that we were speaking about in Hamburg this morning...
Yeah, they got vehicles. They go to work.
Yeah.
They're hardworking people. The ones I met are invariably hardworking people.
Yeah.
Like I said, they got a cultural way of life.
It's their lifestyle.
It's their lifestyle. They deal. It's an absolute way of life. That's what they do. They buy this, they buy that, they sell this, they sell that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Everybody deals in one way or another. You sell your services to the BBC, they pay you for it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no difference there. They got good family values. They're invariably clean people.
As was proven by Frank. By Paddy in Celebrity Big Brother.
They come across a completely different way than what most people are used to, but that's the culture.
Yeah.
That's the way they are. Everybody's different. You know, you've had a vast influx of Somalians. They're integrating into society, but they got a different way of doing things and looking at things, and they sound and look different, but it don't make them any less a human being. Anyway,
be brief now, Frank. I've got lots of calls to take, but yes.
They had these caravans were on a roundabout.
Yeah.
On a roundabout.
Yeah.
Why should there be a 28-day notice served? Why, they're on a roundabout. I can sum up this Essex problem in one word.
Go on.
Equality. If you want equality, son, you can have it. My granny told me, careful what you wish for, boy, because you might just get it. Now, with equality comes liability, responsibility. That's what it comes with. You have to do equally what we all do, which is planning permission.
Play by the rules.
That is the rules. They are not set up for a Mickey Mouse reason. They are there for a specific reason, to stop somebody turning up. I had the BBC turn up at my office over the wheel clamping. They said, well, what's wrong with parking on a bit of private land? I said, well, okay. I said, when you leave for work, to this BBC journalist, I said, when you leave for work tomorrow morning, when you get back tomorrow night, I'll be on your drive, parked up, lovely. You can't do that. I said, why not? It's private land, isn't it?
Frank, we'll leave it there.
Equality.
Equality. Thank you for your views, and have a good day. It sounds like you've got some work coming in by the sound of your mobile phone in the background there. Frank, thank you very much indeed. Your views, your thoughts, your comments. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? Just not play by the rules. Do what you like. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? Be you a traveller, be you a squatter, be you, as Frank identified there, be you somebody who spies an open space because you need to park your car and it's not entirely clear who owns the land. Well, you just take it because you need it. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? 0845 905 949. I'm still looking for a squatter to come on the programme this morning to talk to me about squatting. 0845 905 949. I'd like to talk to you if you're a squatter, but I want to hear you and your opinions about, is it ever okay to take what you need? Let's go to Chris in Ashton Vale. Morning to you, Chris.
Good morning.
Sorry to have kept you waiting. Busy programme this morning. Nice to talk to you, though. Is it ever okay just to take what you need?
No. Other people have to save up to buy what they want and things.
Mm-hmm.
And with travellers, as you know, by my text this morning, I was disgusted with what that lady had spoken on the radio about bringing up Cameron's son dying, just to get her point across.
And
she said about the girls having to park along the roadside. Well, they were, you know, being pregnant and that, they chose that way of life. They could live like normal people, but they don't want to. And the thing is, they want to be treated better. I mean, in Ashton Vale, we had a traveller's site.
Yeah.
They sold it to the council. The council spent lots of money on clearing the site up, and then built a site for them with pitches with chalets by the side of each. And some of the travellers' family who sold the site went back on the land, and they pay less than £8 a night to stay. I mean, this is just taking advantage, and Bristol City Council, well, they ought to learn from these people now what they're doing, because we've had illegal travellers parking in Ashton Vale many a time.
Yeah.
And recently we had one on the X prefab site, and there was one poor lady, the only prefab left up, and she was she had them by the side of her. And I thought that if now we've got legal sites and the transit site, that they could be moved off quickly. But they won't. I mean...
Is it ever okay? Chris...
No,
it's lovely to talk to you. I know this is the first time for you and me on the programme, so great to talk to you this morning. Is it ever okay for somebody who chooses to live their life differently, but they still contribute towards society, is it ever okay for them to park up in a lay-by because that's the way they choose to live their life? Should everybody be like you and me? Living in a house, paying rent and everything else?
Yes, yes. Okay. Why not? Because they have the facilities. And you're saying about parking up in lay-bys. If anybody's got a caravan and they want to go on holiday, they've got to go on campsites and pay. Mm. And they have to pay a lot of money. Whereas these travellers, they park illegally. Then the council gives them toilets and water. And I'd like to know how they get into electric and water by not paying.
Yeah, I certainly if you watch TV programmes like Casualty or some of these big fat gypsy wedding programmes and what have you, you get the opinion, not all of travellers, of course, but some of them are hacking into the system, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, great to talk to you this morning. Thank you so much for coming on the programme. Good to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. Chris from Ashton Vale says that travellers should be made to abide by the law. But they have a lifestyle that's different to you and me. But as we witnessed with Celebrity Big Brothers, Big Brother, and indeed My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding, travellers' lifestyle, travellers' choices, the likes of Paddy Doherty, who won Celebrity Big Brother, he chimed with the general public because of his strong moral stance, his family views, the fact he took care of people in the house, which completely confused some of the tabloid newspapers. Because they couldn't hate him, because actually he supported their views. Harold in Downend, morning to you. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? What do you say, Harold?
No, it isn't, John. That's why we got a civilised society, and everybody tries to live by the law. But what I was rang in for,
yep.
the city council some years back built a traveller's site with toilets and, everything down at St Andrews Road.
Yeah.
And there was a small charge to go in there. Anyway, these gypsies, or whatever they call it, wouldn't use it because it was a charge.
Yeah.
So eventually it stopped empty for about a 12-month, maybe longer. And then the council said, well, you can go in there and you won't have to pay. So they went in there and they completely wrecked the place. And next door was a timber porting man. And I was working for the railways, and they used to say, look at them gypsies over there in the winter. Great big fires they had roaring away, wood fires. Well, they was climbing over the fence, nicking all the wood. So eventually, it got so bad that they booted a lot of them out of there and shut the camp down. So, how would you go on there?
The difficulty we have, Harold, is that you sort of look at some travellers and some gypsies who clearly are doing things that don't chime with the rest of society. But there are, and I think this would be fair to say, the vast majority of travellers who choose to live a different life to you and me, but they do pay their taxes, they do contribute to society, and we can tar all of them with this minority, the sort of people you're talking about in your experience.
Yeah, these that live and pay their taxes must be few and far between. I haven't seen too many of them. I see another crowd of gypsies down near the refuge place at Mangotsfield. I know they left them fields and that. Well, it wanted the people in there for about a week to clear it up.
Yeah.
But I say in these squatters in America, they shoot them coming in. I wouldn't like them in my house. I'd put up as much resistance, law or no law. They wouldn't come in here, and I don't know how other people feel.
Harold, great to talk to you this morning, and thank you for your opinion here at BBC Radio Bristol. Nice to talk to you. Harold in Downend. These people don't deserve these sites. 0845 905 949. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? Be you a squatter taking over a shop in Bath or a traveller sitting on a site without the legal planning permission to be there? John in Bath. Morning to you, John.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning here at BBC That's Radio Bristol. Okay. Is it ever okay just to take what you need?
No, I don't think it is. No, not at all. There's a site as you leave Bath on the left-hand side with people living in mobile homes.
Is that the one coming out of Bath towards Keynsham?
Yes.
Yeah, I know the one because I was talking about that this morning.
Set back I won't call them travellers because they don't go anywhere.
Right.
But every week they put their rubbish out for the council to pick up. as law-abiding, tax-paying people.
It's a bit bizarre, really, when you think about it.
Yes.
At least they're recycling.
Yes. They want to use the facilities, but they don't want to pay for it.
Hmm. We don't know that they're not paying for it. We're guessing.
We assume they're not.
Yeah, we're guessing that they're not paying council tax for the collection of their rubbish.
Quite right.
Yeah, so if they're not there, where do they go? Because that's their lifestyle, and it would be a very poor society, John, wouldn't it, if we said that everybody has to live the way that we live?
Yeah, but if you're a traveller, you're travelling around all the time.
Yeah.
You don't stay in one place for any length of time. Perhaps a few weeks, and then you move on. What a traveller does. You don't stick yourselves in a field and stay there for years. Because they've ceased to become travellers then.
Because I know that site you mean in Bath, because it's like a bowl, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like
a bowl. It started off with about three or four caravans. I think there's about a dozen on there now.
Yeah.
Before long, it'd be overcrowded.
John in Bath, thank you for your call this morning.
That's all right.
Nice
Tom.
To talk to you. Let's go to Billy in Clevedon. Billy, morning to you.
Good morning. Two things really. We're saying about they're all gypsies or travellers. They're all doing this. They don't pay their tax. That's a minority. That could be a minority. We just tar them the same brush, really. Just because they're a traveller, just because that's the way of life. That doesn't mean they're all going to be taking stuff, thieving.
I've made that point throughout.
And I just think, you can't sort of say Hitler's mum and dad were fascists or whatever, can you? Because you can't blame them. That's one person. And like you said, with Paddy on the Big Brother, he's a nice enough bloke, seems a nice enough bloke,
yeah.
But there's stuff there. Also, the other thing with the travellers, at the moment with this site that's going up in Essex...
In Dale Farm in Essex, yeah.
Yeah. They're putting the human rights thing. It's unfair for them to be kicked off because they've got places and what have you.
But they haven't got planning permission. They haven't got the rules in place to be there, have they?
Yeah, let's just go with me first
yeah.
and say that they'd be using the human rights to say that they should stay there.
Mm-hmm.
In the mail this week and on Saturday was about the slaves they had there that they held up. That was on that same site.
Mm-hmm.
So one minute you're using the rights for that, and then that doesn't mean all those people on there are slave traders or whatever they were
no,
doing over
of
there.
Of course not.
So the other thing is, if they got land, then you should be able to... The people which were around that area, one of the people had put a conservatory on.
Yep.
He had it knocked down because he wasn't down flying permission. That's it. That's the rules of what they are. But on the other hand, then if they buy the land and they haven't got anywhere else to go, or they don't want to go anywhere else, because he's already well saying he stayed 2 weeks in Clevedon and then 2 weeks in Yate.
Be brief, Billy, because I've got the news to get in. Yeah, carry on.
You can't travel any longer. That's all been held up for them. So yeah. The only way they can do is do that. So I'm not a for or against. I'm just saying, I think they can't use the Human Rights Act like they have been. On that site,
yeah.
When they're doing stuff to people that, let's face it, if you're in a little area like that, you would know that was people there being caged. Everyone knew that.
Yeah. Billy, anyway. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for hanging on this morning. Billy in Clevedon, thank you very much indeed. We have squatters in Bath using shops that are empty. This is the Jane Norman shop and Jessop's that were in Bath. They've gone in there and they're now selling stuff, making money, without paying the niceties of rent or council tax or services or anything like that. Is it ever okay just to take what you need? 0845 905 949. Be it a lifestyle choice or just because you have no other option. Is it ever okay just to take what you need?
John Darvall, BBC Radio Bristol.
Margaret in Felton. Morning to you, Margaret.
Morning.
Is it ever okay just to take what you need?
No. Can I ask a question?
Of course you can.
If a thief came into your home, yep, and stole your TV, and the owner had it chipped and could prove it was his, the thief would then get fined. So what is the difference between someone coming into your home that breaks into your home and for maybe weeks or months at a time,
yep,
and gets away with it?
Do you know, Margaret, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that, but
that
I think...
to me is stealing.
I don't know the answer to that one, but I've got somebody on the line who I think might have the answer to that. Jim Hayton from the Advisory Service for Squatters. Jim, morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Margaret asked a very valid question there. Well, someone breaks into your... Hang on. Someone breaks into your home and just decides to live there. Why is that right?
Well, squatters don't break into other people's homes and decide to live there. Squatters occupy empty buildings that are not anybody's home. That's the first thing. But I do query the whole premise of this, that squatting is about taking. Squatting is about investing. It's about giving. It's about putting your life and energy into making a dead place live again. It's about contributing to make communities live again.
Margaret, hang on.
Desolate and derelict.
Jim, hang on a minute. Hang on. Margaret,
Desolation and dereliction, or do you want empty property to be used and to have a life and to be part of the community again? Which do you want?
Margaret, what do you say to that?
If you put all those words that gentleman have just said,
yeah,
all what he said, at the end of the day, that comes down to one word, and that is stealing. A few months ago, it was in the paper about somebody went away on holiday, came back, and there were squatters in. Now, can that gentleman tell me if that's not stealing? That's good for the environment.
What I can tell you is that's not true.
Oh, yes, it is.
Was in the paper.
I think, Jim, to be fair, Jim, hang on, both of you, hang on. I think, Jim, to be fair, that story was true.
Thank you.
That couple had gone away. They came back, a doctor and his heavily pregnant wife, to find the house that they'd been renovating had been taken over by squatters.
It wasn't their home. It was not their home. They were not living there.
They owned it. And they were proposing to move in there because they've been renovating it.
It was substantially derelict. Substantially derelict.
But not completely derelict because they were renovating it.
It was not a home. The squatters made it into a home. Their work, their effort, their energy made it livable, which it was not before. So it wasn't taking anybody's home. It's about going away and coming back from holiday. They lived somewhere else, not in that house.
But they owned... What I think we're trying to understand here, and hopefully you can help myself and Margaret, Jim, is that if somebody owns something and it is theirs to do with what they will, regardless of whether we have this issue regarding homelessness, which we've debated on this programme, regardless as to whether they choose to live in it or not live in it, or, you know, keep it locked up and let the junk mail mount up. They own it. It's their property. Why does somebody else have the right to take over that property and do what they feel they can do?
Because nobody has the right to attack local communities with dereliction, with blight. Nobody has that right. In fact, you say they own it. They can do what they like with it. No, they can't. There's something called an empty dwelling management order. The council can come along and take it from them. The trouble is, councils are rather remiss in doing that.
So you think it's okay for squatters to do what the council can't do or aren't doing?
No, the council can do it.
Yeah, but they're not doing it.
They're not doing it to any great extent. They do it occasionally, but not very often.
So you say, what, the squatters are doing what the council should be doing?
Yes. Taking empty property away from the people who are keeping it empty.
But it's not, absolutely, Jim, it's not theirs, is it?
So that it can live again, so that communities can live again, so that we don't have to look at blight and dereliction in our streets.
Margaret.
Do you want blight and dereliction in your streets?
I'm going to come back to Margaret.
Do you want places to be lived in and to be part of a lively community again? That's what squatters contribute. It's an investment. It's a contribution.
Margaret?
Hello?
Margaret, yes, what do you say to that?
I think it's absolutely rubbish what you said. I made a point earlier about a television set and a squatter's house, and to me there's no difference. It's stealing, whatever you think. So I may go out and steal a television set, and you're going to have me for it, because anybody that squats in a house, you say that's not stealing. So that's fine. No problem.
Supposing you have a television set and it's broken and somebody comes along and repairs it so that it works again. Now, that would be the proper analogy. what you're saying is nothing like stealing a television set. He's repairing a television set.
If that man came into, if a thief came into your house and stole, all right, a television set, a laptop or anything like that, they took it away and you can prove it was yours because you'd had it chipped or you got the receipt.
But squatters don't take anything away.
There is no difference at all in somebody coming into a house, stealing your house and they can get away with it, but a thief can go in front of a judge and get fined. Yeah, anybody that can squat, they just... ignore them.
Jim, let me come to you. Let me come to you, Jim, because what you're talking about here, it sounds quite romantic, and I'd imagine a lot of people listening to BBC Radio Bristol this morning will be thinking, well, sort of get what he's saying, but at the end of the day, if somebody owns a property, it's theirs. They've bought it, they've paid for it, they own the bricks and mortar and the land it stands on. They own the right for the bricks and mortar and the land it stands on, and somebody, because they see a window open, decides to move in there, you surely can't expect anybody to support that as a basic principle.
Well, millions of people do support it. Squatters are always receiving lots of warm support from the people who live around them. When squatters go to court, they very often are taking petitions from their neighbours saying how much they want the squatters to stay there. There's nothing romantic about this. Squatting is hard, dirty work. I don't see why you call it romantic, you know. Cleaning block drains.
Well, the reason I call it romantic is because you're
making desolate places into homes again is not romantic. It's hard work.
You're saying all that. Do squatters pay rent, council tax, electricity bills?
Squatters are always paying electricity bills. Council tax is rarely demanded, but squatters are liable for it if it is demanded. And
rent?
No, absolutely not. Of course not.
They're not paying rent?
No.
So not paying what the vast majority of society pays, which is for the right to occupy a building, be it a mortgage, rent, or indeed having paid for the building.
Have you heard of the term sweat equity? Squatters are putting their graft, their love, their hard work into derelict buildings.
As are normal homeowners.
That's worth a lot more than rent.
Well, as are normal homeowners, but they also have to pay rent too.
No, they're not. They don't start from the point where squatters generally start from, of dereliction and abandonment.
I've done up three houses in my time. I started
with Black Square. Were they derelict and abandoned? Did it have a roof on it?
No,
did it
actually.
Did have plumbing?
No, it didn't.
Had concrete been poured down the drains? I'll bet it hadn't.
No, I don't think it had that.
Did it have 2 feet of pigeon droppings and dead pigeons in it?
No, I mean, but it did have an awful lot of stuff that had to be taken out. The point is, if you own Jim, hang on. If you own something and somebody else comes along and moves in there, how can you sell that to anybody listening to BBC Radio Bristol this morning as the right thing to do?
Ownership doesn't entitle you to mount an attack on the community by dereliction. It does not permit you to create something which is ugly and threatening to everybody else. Ownership doesn't trump everything. Ownership does not permit you to behave in an antisocial manner, and anyone who leaves a place empty is behaving antisocially.
But you're just squatting.
Margaret says, nor does squatting. Margaret and Jim, we'll leave it there. Margaret
thank
in Felton
you.
And Jim Hayton from the Advisory Service for Squatters. Thank you both for your contribution this morning here to BBC Radio Bristol. If you missed it, here's what you may have missed.
Today on BBC Radio Bristol.
Is it ever okay just to take what you need?
I was brought up to respect, which these days doesn't appear to have any place in society. Respect for anybody's goods, belongings, for the people themselves, for anything, is, I want that.
They've got to eat, they've got to put petrol in their cars, or diesel in their vans. Where's it all coming from? They've got to be sourcing an income from somewhere.
Yeah, I see.
So where's it coming from? It's coming from us.
To me, there's no different. It's stealing whatever you think. So I may go out and steal a television set, and you're going to have me for it, because anybody that squats in a house, you say that's not stealing. So that's fine.
Supposing you have a television set and it's broken and somebody comes along and repairs it so that it works again. Now, that would be the proper analogy. What you're saying is nothing like stealing a television set. It's repairing a television set.
There should be no procedure bar scruff of the neck, smack in the chops, out of my house. Because I'm afraid I'd find someone sat in mine, they're going.
End of story. I'm not waiting for court papers.
If they've been unoccupied for X number of years,
yeah,
then I think the council should make a compulsory purchase. Do it properly. Not some flyboy jumping in and seizing the opportunity to make money and not pay any taxes or anything.
They drop out of society, but they still go to the money pot at the end of the week and saying, well, we want our little bit, mind.
Some great views. Thank you for taking part in the programme this morning. It wouldn't work without you. You can continue the debate if you want online at JD in the morning. That's the Twitter page address, at the little sign at